This is Dr. Jonathan Shaw. I want to thank you for tuning in to Crown Ministries Podcast today. We hope that this message transforms you and encourages you to pursue God's presence in a greater way. Enjoy the message. And then we want you to get Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And then we want you to get Matthew 21. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Zechariah 9 and 9, Matthew 21. And we're going to start at verse number 1. Zechariah 9 and 9, when you have it, say amen. And it reads thusly. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, and he has salvation. Lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Zechariah 9 and 9. Let's go now to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 1. Matthew 21 and 1. And it reads, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord have need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughters of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. I want to lift up in your hearing verse number 5. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the word of the Lord is blessed. I want to talk to you this Palm Sunday 2021, a message simply entitled, Ride On, King Jesus. Ride on, King Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, ride on, King Jesus. Look up to the heavens and say, ride on, King Jesus. Father, bless this witness and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be thou acceptable in thy sight. I pray because you are my strength and my redeemer, and there is none like you and none compared to you. Have your way. Move by your spirit. Think through my mind. Speak through my mouth and give strength to this body. I declare in the name of Jesus that after this moment is concluded, someone would have heard from heaven and they will know what it is there to do. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Every heart say amen. Amen. You can have your seats and say, ride on, King Jesus. Ride on, King Jesus. Ride on, King Jesus. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, contrary to popular belief, God does not send anyone to hell. I know that you have been raised to think that and believe that, but God does not send anyone to hell. Put that in the chat, in the comments on Facebook and YouTube for me so we can spread the word. God does not send anyone to hell. Would you right here in the congregation repeat that after me? Say, God does not send anyone to hell. Sin does. Sin sends us to hell. Watch it now. Sin, S-I-N, sends, S-E-N-D-S, us to hell. We were already hell bound, Sister Isha. We were already on a sinking ship. We were already in the place where we were doomed and damned eternally. What God does is he rescues us while we were on our way to hell. Hell is still a very real place. Hell is just as real as heaven. Hell is just as real as this earth. Just as real as you're watching this virtual service and just as real as you're sitting in this church, hell is a real place. Hell, Hades, Sheol, the bottomless pit, the lake of fire, it's all real. It's filled of doom, gloom, damnation for eternity. And God does not desire that any one of us would perish. But because of sin in our life, that's where we're headed to. We're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. God didn't send us to hell. We were on our way there anyway. God is not sending us to hell. We are on our way there anyway. Why? Because of the sin nature that is within us. That sin nature, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, is our sinking ship. It is causing us to drown in eternal damnation. Watch this. God decides that he needs to rescue us from that journey. So while on a sinking ship, he throws out the lifeline. Hallelujah. And the lifeline is called Jesus. And the lifeline rescues us from eternal damnation. That's why we need salvation. We need to be saved from a hell that we're on our way to anyway. Okay, you with me? We need to be rescued from that place called hell. We were on that journey, on our way there, but God says, I need to pull you back and take you into another direction. Can y'all help me preach my Palm Sunday message? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I was on my way to hell, but God rescued me. You should have been shouting. You missed your shout right there. That was your shouting moment. He snatched you out, hallelujah, from the bottomless pit. He snatched you out from the hand of your enemy. He rescued you while you were on your journey, on your way to eternal damnation. He rescued us. He pulled us out. But watch this. I need you to understand what it takes in order for you to be rescued. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. The wages, you know what a wage is? A wage is payment. When you work on your job, they give you your wages. Every 15th and 30th of the month, y'all looking for your wages. You check your bank account every Friday for your wages. Come on, if you work for somebody, you expect your wages. Come on, nobody don't do nothing for free. That's called slavery. If I work, give me my wages. Well, the wages for sin is death. The payment, the check, what's due to you because of your sin is eternal damnation. That word death there is separation from God. See, I want you to understand that death or hell is the absence of the presence of God. Hell is the absence of the presence of God. In other words, some folks are experiencing hell right here on earth because they are void or absent from the presence of God. But death is separation from God. Hell is absence of God. Death is separation from God. So when you experience spiritual death, you're experiencing a separation from God. And that separation from God could cause eternal damnation in hell. Are you with me today? So, in other words, what needs to occur now is we need to be rescued. And the way that we need to be rescued is given to us in Scripture. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Are y'all with me today? Now, what is remission? Remission is whosoever paying. You pay when you remit. When you go to the diner or the restaurant and they give you a check at their table, you got to go and remit payment. It's remission. If you have an invoice in your email, in your inbox, you've got to remit payment. So whoever has to pay it, they send a remitting of the payment. It's an economical term. And remember the other scripture, the wages of sin. Y'all still with me? So I'm teaching spiritual economics 101. The wages of the payment for sin is death. And the only way that we could pay for it is to remit blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So guess what? In order to pay for this sin, blood is the price. In order to pay for this sin, blood is the price. Y'all with me? In order to pay for my sin, blood is the price. How to pay for your sin? Blood is the price. So then therefore, blood needs to be shed in order for sin to be paid for. And God has decided, watch this, from the time of the Old Testament, that he was going to allow his people, the children of Israel, to, watch this, put a down payment on their sin. Now, don't y'all sit there and look at me like you're able to afford everything you got. How many of you have ever put something on layaway? I thank God for layaway plans. Y'all don't know nothing about that layaway plan? Something, I got four payments left. Come on here. Thank God for layaway plans. Layaway plans allow you to have things, come on here, that you couldn't afford all at once, but you put something down on it. Come on here. Some of y'all right now say, let me put something down on my Easter dress. I got an Easter dress. I got to put something down on it. Y'all done bought an outfit for the bishop's consecration? You say, oh, let me put something down upon it. I put it on layaway. So I put something down on it. Watch this. Whenever you put something on layaway, they do not give you the item, but they will take your down payment. And they simply subtract what you gave as a down payment from the full price of the item. Y'all still with me? But they hold your item in the store until you've given complete payment. God, I feel like preaching. God. And so then now, brothers and sisters, what God allowed in the Old Testament is that he allowed the children of Israel or humanity to put a down payment on sin. How did he do it? He said, I'll let you slay lambs, turtle doves, bullocks, ox. I'll let you make sacrifices, and that sacrifice will appease me, but it's not paying for your sin. It's a down payment, but you haven't totally purchased it yet. So God told Moses in the wilderness, he said, I want you to make me a tabernacle that I could dwell among my people. He said, I want you to put different pieces of furniture in the tabernacle. But the first piece of furniture that they will meet when they go in through the east gates is they will meet the burnt offering altar. At the burnt offering altar, anybody that remember the tabernacle study? At the burnt offering altar, it was a large bronze box, large, huge. It stood about 6 feet, 7 feet tall. It stood about 7 feet wide. Come on here. And it was about 6 feet deep because it was a large box. And what would happen at this large box that was made out of bronze? Somebody say bronze. Bronze is the material of judgment. Bronze is the material of judgment. And at the judgment of the burnt offering altar, God would say, because sin is what you did, blood is what you have to pay. But I'm not going to take your blood. I want you to bring me the blood of sacrifices. So bring me a turtle dove, a lamb, a bull, an ox. Bring me something that you could afford, but make sure that it's without blemish. Make sure that it's fat. Make sure that it's good. Make sure that it is, watch this, valuable. Now you got to understand that this was problematic, Brianna, in this time and day, because a turtle dove, a bull, a lamb, an ox was their means of welfare. It was their worth and their value. They could either take that lamb and kill it and slay it and cook it and feed their whole family. Or they could take that ox and sell it and get money. So when God is asking for a sacrifice, he's literally asking them for money. Look at y'all looking at me. He's looking at the thing that is valuable to their entire family. That's why you got to stop listening to these hellions on Facebook that don't study their Bible. They talk about you ain't supposed to give money and tithe and offering into church. No. They didn't have dollar bills and quarters in the Bible, but they did have turtle doves and bullocks and ox. It is the equivalent value to your paycheck. The ox had equivalent value to your wages. And God said that what you need to do is you need to bring me a sacrifice and make sure that it's of the purest form. Make sure that it's a male. Make sure that it's clean. Make sure it ain't got no spots or blemishes of it. Bring me the best of its kind. Bring it from your house. Bring it to the tabernacle. Bring it up to the burnt offering altar. And I want you to take that sacrifice and slit his throat. Take the blood of that sacrifice, sprinkle it around the burnt offering altar, and then I want you to put all that blood around the base of it. This is what God told him to do. Put all that blood around the base of it. And then when you finish pulling that blood around the base of it, take the lamb, take the sacrifice, put it on the grate. It was like a barbecue pit. It was like, y'all, you understand what I'm saying? It was like the 4th of July, a big barbecue pit. Put it right there on the grate and set it on fire. Burn it up and consume it until it's completely consumed. And after it's finished burning, if there's any ashes left, burn it again. Because I want you to burn up all the ashes. And then after you burn it the second time, if there's still any ashes left, I want you to gather the ashes and take the ashes and put it into a far country and get it totally away from you. This is what God felt about sin. Now, you can imagine, ladies and gentlemen, everybody of every household, what they felt or what they thought, because they had to bring a whole week's paycheck. Look at y'all looking at me. I said they had to bring a whole, y'all complaining about 10%? They had to bring a whole week's paycheck, a whole lamb, a whole ox, a whole turtle dove, whatever they could afford, whatever they could, come on, give and bring. They had to bring it, and they had to sprinkle the blood. So literally, when they cut, the priest cut the lamb's throat, somebody literally saw their money go down the drain. Then sprinkle the blood around it. And you got to stand there and watch it. You got to stand there and watch it. And then he said, put it into the pit and set it on fire. He says, watch this. And the priest had to stand to the edges of the altar and make sure it was burned. So they watched this. They were not tempted to go grab what was left. So this is what they had to do, Deacon Watson. They had to hold on to the horns of the altar. This is what we get this from in prayer. When you talk about hold on to the horns of the altar. Now imagine this big bronze pit that was been set on fire. It's got blood everywhere and it's been set on fire. You can imagine how hot it got. But watch this. They had to hold on to it and look inside the pit to ensure that the entire sacrifice was completely consumed with fire. And that's what we got to do, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes in prayer, we got to hold on to the altar that no matter how hot it gets, no matter how terrible it gets, no matter how uncomfortable it gets, you hold on to make sure the sacrifice has been completely consumed. You know why some people haven't got delivered? Because they went to the altar, but they left before they ensured that their sacrifice was completely consumed. Look at your neighbor and behind your mask and head neighbor. I can't let go of the altar until I know the entire sacrifice is gone. Some of y'all are still taking pieces of your sacrifice home with you. Because you know how valuable it is. You know how costly it is. And you've convinced yourself you can't afford to lose this. So you let go of the horn of the altar. And you're trying to grab a piece of the sacrifice and save what's left. They had to hold on to the altar and make sure the sacrifice was consumed. Make sure that it was completely gone. And make sure that it was completely burned. And make sure that there was nothing left of it. I want to ask y'all a question. When you get up from the altar, is there anything left? Because if there's something left, get back down there. Get back. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but that uncomfortable feeling that you're feeling right now is me strangling the sacrifice out of you. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, neighbor, make sure there's nothing left. Make sure that all the hatred is gone. Make sure the unforgiveness is gone. Make sure the malice is gone. Make sure that thing is consumed with fire. Make sure that which displeases God has been consumed by the fire of the altar. Oh God. And God says, when you do this, then sin has been paid for, or at least a down payment. Watch this. And he says, for the next 12 hours. Because they had to do this every morning and every evening. They had to do it every morning and every evening. There was two sacrifices consumed every day. One burned in the morning, one burned in the evening. I want to ask y'all a question. How many of you only pray in the morning or only pray in the evening? You only give God exclusive time. Come on here. When it's convenient for you. He told them, if you want to really be with me, if you want to put a down payment on your sin, I need to talk to you every morning. I need to smell something from you every evening. I need to get something from you at least twice a day. And this happened every single day, every single day, every single day in the wilderness. There was a sacrifice. Twice a day, you saw the smoke going up from the camp of Israel, from the tabernacle. Every day, you saw it and you smelled it. Can you imagine the smell and the stench? Because sacrifice is not a pretty thing. I'm almost through. Sacrifice is not a beautiful thing. It's dirty. It's messy. It's ugly. And it stinks. I'm here to tell somebody, what smells good to you stinks to God. And watch this. What smells bad to you smells good to God. Some of us got this thing backwards. We don't understand that his word says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. The thing you enjoy, God hates. The thing that you hate, God enjoys. What some of us are going to miss it because we're trying to be happy, and we're trying to be pleased, and we're trying to gratify our flesh. And God is saying, when you're comfortable, I'm uncomfortable. Went around that altar, it stinks, it smells horrible. Minister Marsha, it's horrific. Watch this. And what I discovered, ladies and gentlemen, is that not only was it hard for the priests and the people to give that sacrifice because of the expense attached to it, but it was also challenging for the sacrifice to be sacrificed. Have y'all ever watched that documentary called What the Health? And what they do is they talk to us about some of the inhumane or unethical treatment of animals so that we could have their meat. They showed us the treatment of cows and the treatment of pigs and the treatment of chicken and how it was so horrible the way they were treated in some of these farms. They actually have to trick cows when it's time for them to slay them. Because the cows have a consciousness and awareness that I'm about to be slaughtered. And when you have that kind of consciousness, medical veterinarians have said that the cows release certain enzymes within them that makes the meat impure. When they're treated unethically, even chickens release certain enzymes within them that contaminates their meat because they know that they're about to be slaughtered. So they got to trick the animals to convince them to go to this house to be slaughtered. Because even the animals sensitively smell the smell of death. They see the last guy you took out of the barn. He didn't come back. Yeah. And now you want to take me out the barn. Where are we going? Are y'all here with me today? Watch this. I'm almost through. And so now what begins to happen is we understand this consciousness in the Old Testament. Can you imagine the thought of the people and the priests when they had to submit the sacrifice? It was expensive. But imagine the lamb that's going to be sacrificed. Yeah. He can smell this stench. He can smell this fragrance of death and blood. He can smell, oh boy, that went before me has burned. He smells the fragrance of something burning. So the animal, instead of going willingly, fights to be sacrificed. My God. Now, mind you, the altar that they have to put this animal on is about 6 to 7 feet tall. So they have to take it up a ramp. So they have to take it by a cord, and they have to pull the ram up the ramp, pull the lamb up the ramp to get him to be sacrificed. And he's fighting the whole way. So you got two warfares, y'all. One warfare is I don't want to give you up, and the next warfare is I don't want to be given up. God help us in here. And that's why some of you fight every week. Every week you fight not to give it up, and every week what's in you fights not to be given up. I wish I could preach like I felt it. Every week you say I don't want to give this money, and every week your money say I don't want you to give me either. Every week your mind says I don't want to give up this sin, and the sin says I want you to keep me and hold on to me. Every week there's a warfare between priests and sacrifice. I don't care what y'all talking about, the way you talk about it, the truth be told, you enjoy your sin. Don't look at me with that church face on. You enjoy cussing people out. You enjoy what you drink and what you smoke. You enjoy how you treat people. You like your sin. You like doing the boogie woogie. You like doing the Harlem shake. Look at y'all. You like dropping it like it's hot. You like that cigarette. You like that Hennessy. And you like that sex. Stop lying. You like it. And your flesh fights every week to give it up. Your flesh is in a war saying, keep it, hold on to it. Your flesh even justifies it and says, but God understands my heart. Come on, that uncomfortable feeling you're feeling right now is me slaying that demon that's trying to hold on to you. Look at your neighbor and say, my flesh don't want to give it up. Even the Bible says that the flesh is an enemy against God. It's an enemy against, it fights it. It says, no, I don't want to go. And just like the priest that had to pull the lamb up the ramp to be sacrificed, that's how you do when you come to church. You fight to get in worship. You fight to get in praise. You're in a warfare. How many of you have spiritual warfare every time it's time to come to church? There's a warfare with your outfit. There's a warfare with Uber. There's a warfare with the train. There's a warfare with your stockings. There's always a war. When it's time to make a sacrifice. Because the sacrifice, I feel like preaching, does not want to go. Look at your neighbor and say, it don't want to go. But you better drag it. You better drag your sin to this altar. You better drag your mess. You better drag your stuff. Anybody came in here this morning dragging something? Come on here. Y'all talking about baggage? I'm talking about sin. I'm dragging depression. I'm dragging low self-esteem. I'm dragging unforgiveness. I'm dragging resentment. Come on. I'm dragging pride. Look at your neighbor and say, what are you dragging? What are you dragging? Drag that joker to the altar. Drag that thing to the altar and burn it and consume it with fire. Hallelujah. You got to consume it. You got to burn it. You got to get rid of it. It's got to be destroyed. It cannot stay here any longer. And the Bible says that once the priest got it to the altar, he slit his throat and threw it on the altar and consumed it. But brothers and sisters, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 21, we have the triumphal. The triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Now you got to understand Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the place where they went to worship. It was the place where Solomon's temple was near. It was the place where they sent the sacrifice and they made sacrifices unto their God. They kept the Jewish custom and the Mosaic law. And here in Jerusalem is the place of worship. And we've now approached the season, Brother Tarek, called the Passover. And every Passover, you needed a lamb. You needed to sacrifice something and slay its blood. And the Bible says that what occurred at this particular time at the Passover, that the lamb that they slayed in the temple, Abel was not the same lamb that God was submitting. Oh God. But while one lamb was over being prepared in the temple to be slain, God had already another lamb, oh God, getting ready to come and enter to be sacrificed. And the Bible says that the lamb was riding on a donkey. He was riding on a colt that no man had ever ridden on before. Do me a favor, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, he's riding on a donkey. He's riding by himself. What are you saying, Dr. Shaw? I'm saying he rode on a donkey that nobody ever rode on before. In other words, he's going to do something he's never done before in a way that he's never done it before. I prophesied to seven praises that God's about to do something he's never done before, and you about to see it like you never saw it before. While they're preparing one lamb, there's another lamb that God is sending. And I'm here to tell somebody in this room, don't you miss your shout moments, because while your enemies are preparing your death, God is preparing your life. While your enemies are talking about you, God about to lift you up. Do me a favor. Gotta feel like preaching here. And turn to somebody and say, labor, you're about to shift from being overlooked to overbooked. Yeah. Find somebody and say, neighbor, he's preparing a table in the presence of your enemies. And the Bible says that Jesus got on the donkey and he rode it into Jerusalem, into the place of sacrifice, into the place where the lamb had to be slain. But there's something different, Deacon Rory, about this lamb. The previous lamb would fight to go to the altar, but this lamb sat on the donkey with a smile on his face and began to ride into Jerusalem, and he did it willingly, and he did it without a fight. Who am I preaching to today? Say, neighbor. Look at somebody, say, neighbor. He didn't fight, but he was willing to do it. He was willing to give up himself, and he rode in Jerusalem triumphantly. In other words, not only was he willing to do it, but he did it victoriously. He did it triumphantly. He did it with a smile on his face. He's setting another precedent, a way the sacrifice is being done, because it don't come in happy. It doesn't come in glad. It's supposed to have an attitude. But David flipped the script. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I'm almost through, y'all. I wish my back felt better. But do me a favor. Help your neighbor preach it. And say, neighbor, get ready. Your sin about to be paid for. Say, get ready. Sin is about to leave, because a payment is about to be submitted. A payment is about to be final. The bullet put a down payment, but God said, I'm gonna clear your bill. A turtle dove was just a down payment, but God said, I'm gonna clear your bill. That last ox you slayed was just a down payment, but God said, once and for all, I'm about to pay your bill. And Jesus sat on the donkey, and the Bible says that when he did it, the people began to cry, Hosanna! Oh, Hosanna! God, I feel like preaching here. Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, here comes my king. My king, he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. but he's also my sacrifice lamb. He's the lamb and the lion. Grab somebody by the hand and say, labor, get ready, here comes the king. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord God, mighty in battle. He's the King of glory. Lift up your head, O ye gates, be lifted up, and the King, I said the King of glory, he shall come in. Do me a favor, get out of your chair and say, here come the King. The King is coming. The King is coming. Online, check it out, ready or not, the King is coming. Get your praise. The King is coming. Open your mouth. The King is coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming back. He's coming. Riding on a donkey. Riding on the horse. Coming in Jerusalem. And the Bible says that he sat on it. They cried Hosanna. He sat on it. They waved the palm branches and said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I only got one praise in me left. And the praise I got ain't to you. It ain't to the job. It ain't to the government. But this one praise, it goes to God. How is your praise going? You know how my praise go? Right on, King Jesus. No man cannot hinder. Somebody ran back and say, right on. Right on. Right on. I got sin. I gotta pay for it. I jacked up. I need to pay for my sin. I need to pay for my mess. Look at your neighbor. Grab them by the hand and say, neighbor, I got problems. I need payment. I got issues. I need payment. I got problems. A whole bunch of them. And I need payment. Right on, King Jesus. Y'all help me preach. Do me a favor. Rap back one more time and say, right on, King Jesus. Right on. They talk about you. Right on. They're trying to scandalize you. Right on. Be the sacrifice for all of humanity. Be the sacrifice for my sin. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, whatever you do, don't stop him from riding. There's a rider. There's a rider. I said there's a rider. Come on back. There's a rider. Come on, Tonto. There's a rider. There's a rider. There's a rider. He's coming to Jerusalem. He's coming to pay for your sin. Get out of your seat. High five somebody. Tell them there's a rider. There's a rider coming. There's a rider coming. There's a rider. There's a rider. He's the Lamb of God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's my Redeemer. He's my healer. He's my Savior. There's a rider. There's a rider. There's a rider. Ride on! Ride on! Ride on! Ride on! Ride on! Ride! Mary's baby! Ride! My bread when I'm hungry! Ride! My water when I'm thirsty! Ride! My bridge over troubled waters! Ride! My shelter!
in a time of storm, ride my wheel in the middle of the wheel. Ride. Somebody, anybody, say ride. Ride on. Ride on. Ride on. I feel better, y'all. Ride on. There's a rider. There's a rider. But wait a minute. Any day now, Elder Mowbray, any day now, Pastor Sabrina, that rider is coming back. The last time he rode on a donkey, but the next time he got a white horse and he gonna ride with judgment in his mouth. The king is coming back. The king is coming back. The king of glory is coming back. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Ride on. Ride on. Ride on. Ride on. Ride on. Ride through Canarsie. Ride through Brooklyn. Ride through New York. Ride through Carolinas. Ride through Charlotte. Ride through the White House. Ride through Washington. Ride through California. Ride on. Ride through Texas. Ride through Florida. Ride on. Ride through Virginia. Ride through Georgia. Get out your seats. Holler and scream. Ride on. Ride back and say ride on. Ride back and say ride on. Ride on. Ride on. Ride on. Oh, ride on. Say yeah. Say yeah. Ride on. He paid for my sin. He paid for my iniquity. He paid for my transgression. Grab somebody by the hand and said, the rider on the donkey paid for my sin willingly, triumphantly. Say yes. Ride on.
Ride on. Ride on, ride on, ride on, ride on. Oh, oh,
oh. Lean on your neighbor's shoulder and say, neighbor, I don't know about you, but I got some sin that I cannot pay for. I got some transgressions that I cannot afford. I need the rider to come. I need the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Say ride on. Hey, ride on. Hey, ride on. Hey, ride. Ride on. Ride on. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Watch this. Ride on. Ride on. Ride on. He's going to make a sacrifice for all of humanity. And Elder Mowbray, they tried to stop him because they heard the praises of the people. The Pharisees and Sadducees saw that the synagogues was emptying out.
And the people was following the rider. This Jesus from Nazareth. They was following him, crying, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They turned around and told Jesus, quiet your disciples. Stop them from praising and saying these things. Jesus said, if these don't praise them.
He said, if these don't praise me, the rocks would cry out. The sticks and stones would scream praises. Watch this.
In other words, what Jesus was saying was, nothing's going to stop me from riding. Because if they don't praise me, the stones will praise me, and I'm going to keep on. I need about 17 praises to open up your mouth and praise him, because nothing going to stop him. Nothing going to stop him from riding. Nothing's going to stop him. Ride, Jesus. Ride, Jesus. Ride, Jesus. Ride, Jesus. He said, I'm determined to pay for you. I'm determined to save you. I'm determined to deliver you. I'm determined to set you free. I'm determined to pull you out. If you don't praise me, the rocks will praise me. But I won't stop. I need somebody, open up your mouth and praise God. Cause ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. Ain't no stone gonna worship in my place. Ain't no tree gonna wave its branches in my place. I open my mouth and I glorify him for myself. Ride on. Somebody say ride on. Ride on. Keep riding, Jesus. Keep riding, Jesus. Keep riding, Jesus. Keep riding, Jesus. Watch this. Ooh. I gotta close, y'all. But many, many centuries later, I ain't got no church in here. I said many centuries later, some enslaved Africans who landed in America, working the cotton fields, picking peas, working for the master, but not the capital M master, but working for the other master. They started picking up little songs to sing, like Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, coming to take us home. Swing low, oh, swing low. Harriet Tubman started causing enslaved people to escape from the Southland, going up to the Northland, so they had to find songs that would resemble when she was near. They had to find songs to sing that wouldn't tell massa that they were escaping. Somebody, somebody knew the story of Jesus riding on a donkey, and while picking that cotton, while shucking them peas, they picked up the song and said, ride on, King Jesus. No man shall not hinder thee. You know what they were saying? They were saying that the path is clear, for whoever's gonna run, run now, because ain't nobody around to stop you or hinder you. Yes, sir. If you're gonna escape, this is the time to do it, because no man shall not hinder thee. And they would sing it, and everybody that was ready to escape started running for their life and started escaping the cotton fields. But then those that remained was not certain if they were ever going to escape or if they was going to die as a slave. So they picked up another line, and the line went like this: in that great getting up morning, fare thee well, fare thee well. In that great, in that great, in that great, fare thee well, fare thee well. In that, then they went back to ride on. Come on, ride, ride on, King Jesus. No man shall not hinder thee. Ride on, King Jesus. No, shall not hinder. No. Listen, they would sing this, and this song was the cue that all of us could get out of here. All of us can escape. And I'm here to tell everybody in the sanctuary and online, you was on your way to a devil's hell. But when the rider came, you was on your way to eternal damnation. But then the rider came. When the rider came, we can escape. When the rider came, we can get up out of here. So let's say, ride on, King. No man, ride on. No man can, no man. Watch this, drop. He started riding. While he was riding, y'all, the priest didn't know what was happening. The priest didn't know what was going on. But he rode in Jerusalem, and the first place he went was to the temple. And he saw the money changers changing in the temple. But he realized that he's a pure sacrifice, and he cannot lay down on a dirty altar. So he cleaned up the temple, flipped over the tables, and threw out the money changers. Which means when the rider come, the first place he's going is to the church. Ride on, King Jesus. No man. Come on, church, sing. Ride on, King. Ride. No man can I. No man can I. Listen. Over the tables, kicked out the money changers, which means when the rider comes, he's changing the order of service. I said he's changing the order of service. Point your finger at the neighbor and say, neighbor, it ain't no more church as usual, because the rider's changing the service. This service is subject to change by the rider on the donkey. After he did that, he was betrayed, sold for 30 pieces of silver, went to the Garden of Gethsemane and started praying and saying, Father, if at all possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he remembered how the lamb in the Old Testament used to act. He says, wait a minute, I'm the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. I can't fight like the Old Testament lamb. I'm the New Testament lamb. So he told his father, nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. You know what he was saying? I'm ready to ride. Y'all ready? Ride on, King. Come on.
one King, Jesus. No man, no man can. Come on, ride on, King Jesus. No man can hinder me. No man, ride on. Come on, ride. No man, ride on. No man can hinder me. No. I want to hear them say it. Cut the music. Ride on. Y'all say, ride on. No man, ride on. No man can I hinder. No man can I hinder thee. No man, come on, can put your back into it. No man can I hinder thee. No man. No man can I hinder thee. No. Oh, oh. No man. No man. No government. No system can I hinder thee. No man can I hinder thee. No man can I hinder thee. No man can I. Come on. Drop the music. Watch this. We got to go. I'm over my time. But I got a prophecy to 35 crazy praisers. Online and in this sanctuary, I got a word for you. That if you praise the rider on the donkey, no man cannot hinder thee. But everybody that praises the rider on the donkey, no man can hinder you either. I prophesy to 35 screamers that you're about to enter into a season that God won't let nobody block you. God will allow nobody to stop you. Point your finger to your neighbor and say, you're on your way to your breakthrough. You're on your way to your miracle. And tell him, I got good news for you. No man shall hinder you. No man shall hinder you. Say it real loud. No man shall hinder. Come on, put your back into it. Yeah. No man. No man shall not hinder thee. No man shall not. Sing it. Man shall not hinder thee. No. Make it personal. Me. No man shall not hinder me. No man shall not hinder me. No. Yeah, yeah. Ooh, no man shall not. No man shall not. No man. That time I feel a praise. No man. Ride, Jesus. Ride, Jesus. Somebody ran back and said, ride, Jesus. Ride. 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 Yeah. Watch this, I gotta go. You're online, you're in this room, and you don't know the rider on the donkey. If you don't know him, then you can't accept what he has to offer, which is salvation. All you gotta do is accept Jesus, the rider on the donkey. Point your neighbor and say, he's the rider on the donkey. If you accept him as your Lord and Savior, he can give you that eternal salvation. Because his blood was the purest one.
that paid for all of our sin. And the Bible says once and for all. So you know what? Y'all pray for me. That means you don't have to slay the lamb anymore. You don't have to put the blood on the door. Someone has taken the place of the lamb. He is Jesus, the great I am. Come on and ride, Jesus. I gotta go. Listen. You don't have to slay the lamb anymore. You don't have to put the blood on the door. Someone has taken the place of the lamb. And he is Jesus, the great I am. Come on and ride, Jesus. Ride, Jesus. Ride, Jesus. Ride, Jesus. Y'all gonna mess around. And the rider is coming. The rider is coming. Can I do it one more time? We gotta go. Listen, you don't have to slay the lamb anymore. You don't have to put the blood on the door. Someone has taken the place of the lamb. And guess what? Jesus, the great I am. Come on and ride. Come on and ride, Jesus. Ride, Jesus. Ride, Jesus. All you gotta do is accept him. Say, Lord Jesus, I accept you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. You are my sacrifice that takes away my sin. I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. And today, in my life, I accept you as my Savior. Now please, Jesus, go ahead and ride. Ride! Hey!
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today.
If you did, I would love for you to do two things. One, subscribe to our show so you can receive notification of our most recent messages. Also, if this message has impacted you, you can click the link in the description and you can give now. We'll connect with you next time on Crown Ministries Podcast.